The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
And author of Solving 9/11 set of books, including his latest, The War on Terror, The Plot to Rule the Middle East. Chris has a history degree from UC Santa Cruz with a focus on Israel and Palestine. He's written extensively on the Middle East, vote fraud, depleted uranium dangers, and the history and geopolitics of the 9/11 terror attacks. Chris joins us tonight as he continues to speak about 9/11 and tours across Europe and America. And with that, it is my pleasure to introduce to you Mr. Christopher Bolin.
Thanks. Okay?
Yeah.
Very good. It's nice to be here. Nice to see all these friendly people that I've met before. Pleasure to be back here. I'm not really on a tour this year. I was invited to speak at a USS Liberty event in Texas yesterday, and then I was invited by San Diego Truth Group, Elise and Ted and my friends to come and speak here. So, this presentation is not so much about the details of September 11th. This presentation is about 17 years of deception. 9/11 is going to be the 17th anniversary coming up this week. And it's also 17 years of war. For 17 years, this country's been at war. And most people in this country are unaware of what this country, our United States, is doing in Syria, in Iraq, in Lebanon, in Palestine, in Yemen, in Mali, in many countries. So what happened is that 9/11 was done to trick us into war. And if you understand, you need to understand what this war is all about. What is the real strategic plan that the United States, for example, Syria. Right now, the United States is on the verge of war with Russia in Syria. It's heating up quite quickly there. The United States is involved in occupying the eastern third of the country, and Russia and Syria says the Americans have to leave. But the United States is, so why are U.S. troops occupying Syria, a nation where there is no U.S. interest whatsoever? Now, what I'm going to talk about in this presentation is what is the real strategic plan and who this plan serves. This is my protest at the Oscars about solving 9/11 ends the war. What that means is when you understand the truth about 9/11, the war is over for you. You will understand that the war is a hoax, is a lie. My background is I was an investigative journalist in Washington, D.C. when 9/11 happened. I have a B.A. in history. Israel and Palestine was my focus. I've written the Solving 9/11 set of books. And The War on Terror, The Plot to Rule the Middle East. I have a lot of those little books with me left over from Texas, so if you'd like to get a copy of the book, whatever donation you want to give, take a copy home with you. It's a small book. It's very important. I made it to be small and concise because it's a very important message. Americans have to understand what the War on Terror is all about. It's not at all about fighting terrorism. It's actually using terrorism to wage war against independent countries. So the Solving 9/11 set of books investigate various aspects of the terror atrocity And my focus has always been from the beginning, who is behind 9/11 and why was it done? This is the large book, the original articles, contains my books for the first, my articles for the first 12 years I was working as a journalist on 9/11. Now, the war on terror was a policy coup by deception. It was blamed on Muslims in order to initiate the war on terror. Behind the war on terror is a covert plan to redraw the map of the Middle East, Iraq, Syria, to break these countries up into fragments. Understanding the origin of this plan is crucial to comprehending the deception that has changed our world. Both 9/11 and the war on terror have a common origin. They were both conceived by Israeli military intelligence. That's not Mossad, that's Aman, A-M-A-N, in the 1970s under the leadership of Menachem Begin. Menachem Begin was the leader of Israel in 1977. And when Begin came to power, that's when the real old terrorists took power in Israel. Menachem Begin was known, is known as the father of terrorism. This is Menachem Begin. He was born in Russia, came to Palestine in 42, became the leader of the Irgun in 44, bombed the King David Hotel in Jerusalem in 46, committed the Deir Yassin massacre in 48, where they massacred an entire Palestinian village, created the Likud party in 1973, became prime minister in 77, and promptly invaded Lebanon in 1978. This is the emblem of the Irgun. This shows this larger territory called Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. And this is what they aspire to. They aspire to creating a state, the Likudniks, from the River Nile to the River Euphrates, and taking pieces of Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Iraq along the way. It's interesting to note that although Menachem Begin was the head of the Irgun, which is part of Vladimir Jabotinsky's Zionist movement, Benjamin Netanyahu's father, Bibi Netanyahu's father, Benzio Netanyahu, was the executive director of the new Zionist movement when Jabotinsky died. Jabotinsky is the founder of this radical revisionist Zionism called the New Zionist Organization, founded in New York City. Here's the father of terrorism. This is Menachem Begin and Bibi Netanyahu. And in 1974, a British journalist asked Mr. Begin, how does it feel, in the light of all that's going on, to be the father of terrorism in the Middle East? And Begin said, in the Middle East, he said, in all the world. So he put on himself the mantle of being the father of terrorism in all the world. So 9/11, we need a little bit more light than that. Okay.
It's hard to read.
Okay. 9/11 was a false flag terror atrocity designed to instill fear and rage in the American population in order to get public opinion to support the war on terror. The war on terror is a pre-planned Zionist war agenda to be waged under the pretext of fighting terrorism. So starting the war on terror was the reason why 9/11 was done. The war on terror itself is much older. So 9/11 was a policy coup in this country that brought us the global war on terror and a series of these disastrous and costly wars. This is from Iraq. They call it the Long War. This is written by people who support the idea of fighting this war. The war on terror is the longest and most expensive war in U.S. history. Yet there is very little public resistance to it and no public political debate on ending it. That's partly because there is no awareness in this country of what we've done in Iraq or Syria. For example, last summer we bombed Mosul and Raqqa, two very large cities, one in Syria, one in Iraq. And yet there were no pictures in the newspaper of what we were doing. None. Now this is what President Trump said a few months ago. He said, we have spent $7 trillion, trillion with a capital T, $7 trillion in the Middle East. You know what we have for it? Nothing. Nothing. He's right. And this is from the man who wrote The Art of the Deal. So if this deal is so bad, as he says, we need to reverse this deal. We need to understand it, that this deal is plundering the wealth of this country. How it works is that the war on terror is not just the name of a, it's not just a clever name. It's a legal term for the authorization to use military force. What this means is that 2 days after 9/11, Congress passed a bill that gave the president the right to declare war in any place, in any country, against anybody who he thought was involved in 9/11 on his own determination. And these are some of the countries that have been, where they have used this authorization to wage war. But of course, have these countries all been involved in 9/11? No, of course not. So it's a fraud. Here, the fraudulent war on terror is based on the official myth of 9/11. This gives you an example of how much money is being spent. We're spending $400 million per victim of terrorism in this country per year. $400 million per year per victim of terrorism. It's a fraud. The war on terror is an Israeli stratagem pushed by Netanyahu since 1979 to trick the United States into waging war against Israel's enemies. And Donald Trump has supported this lie when he re-engaged in Afghanistan. He said in August of last year, he said that 9/11, the worst terrorist attack in our history, was planned and directed from Afghanistan because that country was ruled by a government that gave comfort and shelter to terrorists. So although he said that his instincts were against the war in Syria and Afghanistan, he supports the lie and supports the war. So the war goes on. This is Wesley Clark, who was running for president. He was a former general, a very high-ranking commander of American forces in Europe in the 1990s during the operation in Yugoslavia. And he said, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, if you're an American, you ought to be concerned about the strategy of the United States in this region. What is our aim? What is our purpose? Why are we there? Why are Americans dying in this region? That's you can ask yourself that question. Why are Americans in Syria? Why are we in Afghanistan? Why are we in Iraq? Why? He said, what happened on September 11th is that we didn't have a strategy. We didn't have bipartisan agreement. We didn't have American understanding of it. And instead, we had a policy coup in this country. A coup. A policy coup. Some hard-nosed people took over the direction of American policy, and they never bothered to inform the rest of us. So when he says we didn't have American understanding of it, he's implying that we had some other country interpreting 9/11 for us, which is correct. It was Israel. Here is the Defense Policy Board, three of the principal members of that, Paul Wolfowitz, Dov Zakheim, and Douglas Feith. Some of them are dual nationals. They're sitting at the table with the Israeli military chief of staff, Shaul Mofaz. This is in the Pentagon in January 2002. And what they were discussing is what would be the American response to 9/11. And as Wesley Clark points out, he came across a memo. He was a very high-ranking officer. He was at the Pentagon after 9/11, and he saw Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz. And one of the generals called him in and said, "Sir, we've made the decision we're going to war with Iraq." This is 10 days after 9/11. He said, "We're going to war with Iraq? Why?" "I don't know," he said. "I came back a few weeks later. By that time, we were bombing Afghanistan. I said, are we still going to war with Iraq?" He said, "Sir, it's worse than that. We're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq, then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off with Iran." Well, as you can see from that list, 6 of those 7 countries have already been done, and we're threatening to make war with Iran any day. The sanctions and things, the economic sanctions have been applied to Iran are a form of warfare. Now, what's happening here is that what's being applied is something called the Yenon Plan, the Israeli plan called Yenon, named after the author Oded Yenon. And this plan is an Israeli plan from a Likud strategist to break up the Arab states, starting with Iraq and Syria, into statelets, into small ethnic statelets. It's often called Balkanization because that's what they did to Yugoslavia. Break it into a section with the Sunnis and the Shiites and the Kurds. And that's what's been done to Libya. That's what they're doing to Iraq. That's what they're trying to do in Syria. And what happened in Syria is they ran into an obstacle called Russia and Iran. And they've been thwarted. So this plan has been stymied by the presence of Russia. And they are really ticked off about that, which is why they're so much anti-Russian propaganda, because they're pushing for war to finish Syria, but also to have hostility with Russia and Iran. Now, this is Hillary Clinton in 2012. Hillary Clinton wrote in an email that the best way to help Israel is to use force in Syria to overthrow the government. This email proves that Obama and Clinton were seeking to overthrow the Syrian government, an elected government, in order to serve Israel. Now, this is a photograph from Syria near Damascus. This is the Palestinian camp. This photograph shows the Yarmouk camp. Now, today it's in ruins. It had a population of over 100,000 people. Today it has 200 left. The Yarmouk camp in Damascus lies in ruins, with hardly a single building that has not been destroyed or damaged. Almost all the Palestinian refugees who were there have now fled. This shows you how this war, in this incident, the Palestinian refugees were being targeted. This is a Palestinian camp. And what happened is ISIS infiltrated the camp, then the war was waged against ISIS, and who got hurt? The Palestinians. ISIS is like a moving target. Wherever they put ISIS, then they go and attack. Same thing they did to Raqqa and Mosul. This is from Linda Hurd. She's a British expert on the Middle East. And she wrote this, "Is the United States waging Israel's wars?" She said, "There's one thing we do know. Oded Yenoan's 1982 plan, the Zionist plan for the Middle East, is in large part taking shape. Is this coincidence? Was Yenoan a psychic? Perhaps," she says, "alternatively, we in the West are victims of a long-held agenda, not of our making and without a doubt not in our interest." So we're spending all this money and fighting all this war and taking the food off American tables to fight a war for somebody else? What's going on here? This is the plan. The Israeli plan is to conquer this area between Iraq and Egypt and call it Eretz Israel. This is the plan of the Likud. The Likud doesn't hide this. This is what Irgun wanted to do. This is what Netanyahu wants to do. They aspire to this. This is part of their megalomaniac plan. And in order to do this, they foment strife between the various ethnic groups in these countries. And that's easy to do because there's Sunnis and Shiites and Christians and Jews and Kurds. So what they've done is that they increase the tension by doing things like car bombs and assassinations in order to get these groups to fight each other. And it says, this is from the Yenon plan, "The dissolution of Syria and Iraq is Israel's primary target on the Eastern Front. The dissolution of the military power of these states serves as the primary short-term target." That's exactly what the United States has been doing for the last 17 years. Actually, of course, the war in Iraq has been going on for now 27 years, having begun in 1991. And in what the United States has also been involved in is supporting the Kurds in the north, so that they've tried to break away the Kurdish regions of these countries into separate countries called Kurdistan. It's important to note that in the northern part of Iraq, the Kurdish area, the major holder of the oil reserves in that area is a Rothschild company called Genel Energy. Now, this is what was going on last summer. This is in Mosul, Iraq. It's, I think, the second largest city in the country. It was pounded. The United States and Kurdish forces pounded the city for months and destroyed. This is the famous Mosque of al-Nuri, destroyed in the battle. This is Raqqa. At the same time they were pounding Mosul, they were pounding Syria's Raqqa. At least half the city was totally destroyed. Now, this is destruction on a biblical level. This is the kind of thing you read about in the Old Testament, where they destroy, utterly destroy cities. Why is the United States destroying major cities in Iraq and Syria? What's the point? Why are we doing it? It's our tax dollars at work. They pounded this poor city with so many artillery, they wore out the artillery pieces, the American artillery pieces they were using. They were firing so relentlessly. This is from the northern part of Iraq. It's headed by a family named the Barzani family. That was the leader, Masoud Barzani, with the turban there in the lower left.
No reason to get excited. Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
His father was Mustafa Barzani. In the upper photos, you can see that his father was very close to Mossad. There he is, his father speaking to the head of the Mossad in 1966, I think it was. And here is Mr. Barzani going to Israel meeting Moshe Dayan. This is his son, and this is what his son was trying to do. His son was trying to create an independent Kurdistan in northern Iraq. And when they had these rallies, you can see that the Israeli flag flies right alongside with the Kurdish flag. Because this is an Israeli plan to break up Iraq and Syria by giving the Kurds their own state. So here's September 11th happened 17 years ago, and the media has imposed on us, the public, a false story, a narrative, that radical Islamic terrorists were to blame for 9/11. Now, if you accept that logic, if you accept the official story, you will be trapped. You will be trapped in their logic of war. But if you understand that the 9/11 story is a lie, then you will understand that the war on terror is equally a fraud. And you'll be liberated from it. And that's what we have to do, is we have to liberate ourselves. We have to understand the source of this terrorism in order to liberate ourselves from this madness and this war. And we have to liberate the whole country. This has to be a popular movement. What they did is that they, after 9/11, on 9/11, they declared it an act of war. And this is a CIA paper, USA Today. You see here it said they have 86% say attacks are acts of war. So in one day they had done a survey and give you this nice number that most people think is an act of war. Now it's very important when you call it an act of war, because it no longer is a crime. This can be investigated and tried. It becomes an act of war. And that gives the president the right to take action and to get justice by waging war rather than having an investigation. Now, this is a quote from Larry Johnson, former deputy of counterterrorism. He's talking about how these Florida guys were not really who they, you know, the hijackers were not really who they said they were at all. He said, "We don't have anything in history to compare with this. The only thing that comes close to it is a former Soviet intelligence operation." What he's saying is that the planning and the sophistication of the 9/11 plot was so complex that it was something like the Soviets would have dreamed up. I went to Germany after 9/11 because I realized it would be unsafe to be talking about writing articles about how this is all a lie when our country was going to war based on that lie. And I spoke to this man, former president of German intelligence, and he told me that the deathly precision and magnitude of planning behind 9/11 would have needed years of planning. He said such an operation would have required the fixed frame of a state intelligence organization. So what state are we talking about? What state intelligence organization is behind 9/11? Well, another one of his friends, Andreas von Bülow, another former German intelligence expert, told me right off the bat. I said, "Who do you think is behind it?" He said, "Mossad." And when I wrote that in my newspaper, he was a little bit shocked because he said he had told the exact same thing to every German journalist, but they never wrote it in the papers. They never repeated that. That was not reported. So I can point out some of the key Israeli connections to 9/11. When Israel was being created in the 1940s, the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff did 13 papers to determine what would be the U.S. policy regarding the new state of Israel. And what they wrote in the 13th paper, they wrote that Zionist strategy, Israeli strategy, will seek to involve the U.S. in a continuously widening and deepening series of operations intended to secure maximum Jewish objectives. And they define, what were those Jewish objectives? They say, one was the expansion of Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, into Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria. The second is the establishment of Jewish military and economic hegemony over the entire Middle East. That's what's going on. Now, this is to give you just an idea of Israeli or Zionist terrorism prior to the State of Israel. In 1944, Lehi, that's also the Stern Gang, assassinated the British minister Lord Moyne in Egypt. He was in charge of the whole Middle Eastern area for Britain. In 1946, they sent letter bombs to British officials, including the foreign minister. In 1946, they bombed the King David Hotel, Irgun, killing 93 people. In 1947, the Irgun placed bombs at the colonial office in London. In 1947, Leahy sent letter bombs to the Truman White House, to President Truman. In 1948, Haganah and Irgun bombed the Semiramis Hotel in Jerusalem. And in 1948, Irgun and Lehi massacred the entire village of Deir Yassin, a Palestinian village near Jerusalem. That's just what they did before. That's just a very short list. There's many more things. And this is the Jewish terrorists. When the Jewish terrorists bombed the King David Hotel, it was done by this man, Menachem Begin. He was in charge of the operation. And they blew up the hotel because that was the offices of the British intelligence, or the British headquarters for the military mandate of Palestine. Killed 93 people. A little bit after that, a few months after that, they bombed the British embassy in Rome. And then this man, his name is Yitzhak Shamir, he was in charge of Lehi, or the Stern Gang. They killed the United Nations mediator to Palestine, who was sent there when the war broke out to try and make peace. His name is Volker Bernadotte. And they killed him. And you can see that this is the New York Times. They say the Stern Group is blamed. And it was very clear that this was being done by Jewish terrorists, Zionist terrorists. Now in 1948, then Menachem Begin came to New York City at the end of the year. And Einstein lived in New York, Albert Einstein. And he and 26 Jewish intellectuals wrote a letter to the New York Times protesting Menachem Begin. And one of the key parts of that letter said that the public avowals of Begin's party, the Irgun, what became the Likud, are no guide whatsoever to its actual character.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you worry a lot. If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Today they speak of freedom, democracy, and anti-imperialism, whereas until recently they openly preached the doctrine of the fascist state. It is in its actions that the terrorist party betrays its real character. From its past actions, we can judge what it may be expected to do in the future. That's exactly right. When Begin came to power in 1977, he began employing once again his tactic of terrorism. 77, they came to power. These are three of the triumvirate. That's Begin and Ariel Sharon and Yitzhak Shamir. Now, it's interesting that there's a book by an Israeli called Rise and Kill First that's a bestseller on the New York Times. And in that book, it reveals that this man, Chief of Staff Rafael Eitan, from 1979 to 1983, when Menachem Begin took power, this man ran a terrorist organization in Lebanon called the Front for the Liberation of Lebanon from Foreigners, in which they used car bombs and truck bombs to foment strife and war. They wanted to give a reason for Israel to get to war with the Palestinians in Lebanon and for the factions in Lebanon to fight each other. This is exactly what they did in Lebanon for those years and what they did in Iraq until recently. Car bombs in between Sunnis and Shiites and Kurds, so that you get groups fighting each other. It's an Israeli specialty. This is the book. This is a little extract from the book. The aim was to create chaos amongst the Palestinians and Syrians in Lebanon without leaving an Israeli fingerprint, to give them the feeling they were constantly under attack and to instill them with a sense of insecurity. Now, that's what they did in Lebanon for 4 years. That's what they did in Iraq for 10 years. That's what they're doing to this country since 2001. Look at what happened after 2001. Remember the bombs in Bali. After 9/11, we had bombs in Bali, bombs in Madrid, bombs in London, bombs in everywhere. And that was to, they took their scare tactics and went global with it. And that's what they want to do with us. They want us to be in fear. That's what the terrorism is all about, is to make us afraid to allow them to do what they want to do with their wars. And, you know, in the final year of their little operation in Lebanon, they destroyed the Marine barracks in Beirut, killing 241 Marines. And there was one truck bomb, Sunday morning, very early, came in and drove in and blew up the barracks. And Caspar Weinberger, who was defense minister at the time, Secretary of Defense, said there was no knowledge, America has no knowledge, who did the bombing. It was blamed on some little group called Islamic Jihad, which had no history, no past, no return address. You know, I surmise that this was another operation done by the Mossad. And the basis of that is that Victor Ostrovsky, in his book, By Way of Deception, he's an Israeli Mossadnik from Canada, he said that Mossad knew the specific time and location of the bombing, but only gave the United States general information, which was worthless. So Americans paid with their lives. And here are the Israeli terrorists of the 1950s. They're pretty famous men. This is Shimon Peres, and that's Moshe Dayan, and this is Pinhas Lavon. This photograph was taken just a few months after they were caught putting bombs in American and British buildings in Cairo. And this was another false flag operation. Going back to the 1950s, they wanted to bomb American libraries and films and theaters and what have you in order to turn the American government and the American people against the Arabs, specifically against Egypt. And here's Shimon Peres. Just after he did this, the prime minister of the country at the time was shocked. And he said that Shimon Peres shares the same ideology as Pinhas Lavon. He wants to frighten the West into supporting Israel's aims. This is the name of the game. This is what we still are at today. Shimon Peres was the foreign minister of Israel when 9/11 happened. They want to scare the American people into accepting the Israeli logic of war, so that we will then fight Israel's enemies because we're so frightened of them. Now, this is what we were speaking about yesterday in Texas. This is the attack on the USS Liberty. It happened in 1967 during the Six-Day War on June 8th. And Israel mercilessly attacked this ship, killing 34 Americans, pounded the ship. And the communications between the pilots and the ground control went something like this at the crucial moment. They said, "Identify the ship." And the pilot said, "It's American, it's American." Then the command came from, and the Americans picked up as if it was really a Libyan message. Oh, Libya's saying congratulations on the job well done. And they tricked the Americans into thinking, ha, Libya did it, see? And Ronald Reagan went and bombed. So that's just an idea of some of the deception, how Israel operates to get us to attack their enemies. The war on terror, the evolution of an Israeli stratagem. A stratagem is a trick, a device to trick a nation. Trick people. In 1978, the Israeli super agent Arnon Milchan made his first film called Medusa Touch. The climactic scene is a Boeing passenger aircraft flying into the Pan Am building in New York. This is 1978. You see, what I'm trying to show is that the ideation, the planning of 9/11 and the war on terror all began at the same time in the late 1970s when Begin came to power. Here's the planning and preparation for the film. This is his very first film that he made. This is a very famous film director, producer today. He made JFK and Brazil, Pretty Woman, films like that.
Fight Club.
Yeah, Fight Club, thank you. And here's the first film that he made, and this is, shows the scene of the plane flying into the building. And to give you an idea of his connections to the highest level of the Israeli military, here he is talking with Ezra Weitzman in 1978, the same year he made the film. This is Arnon Milchan. This is him more recently. He's a very high senior Israeli agent. He's a nuclear smuggler and a money launderer. What his basic function has been is he has been like the banker for Israel, for offshore bank accounts, for them to run their military intelligence operations. So he holds the funds to fund their operations abroad. And he was involved in the nuclear smuggling of triggers for nuclear bombs, 850 of them. His company is called Milco in California. And this man was working for him at the time. Netanyahu was his employee. And of course, when the indictment came out for this nuclear smuggling, the Treasury Department, I think it was, said that I can just tell you one thing, he said, that Arnon Milchan is not named in the indictment. So his American employees went to jail, went into exile, but he was not even named in the indictment. And the FBI went to Israel and said, we would like to have those nuclear triggers back, please. The Israelis gave them half of them back. It shows you who's in power there. And here we have, this is a film that his business partner named Rupert Murdoch at News Corporation made in year 2000, aired on TV March 2001, in which a Boeing passenger plane is remotely hijacked and flown into the World Trade Center. At the very last minute, the pilots are able to avert a catastrophe. They just narrowly miss hitting the building. This was shown on Fox TV in March 2001. Milchan and Murdoch are business partners. They own TV companies together. So most likely this idea came from Mr. Milchan because it seemed to be his obsession. Here's the father of Israeli intelligence named Yisr Harel, and he predicted 9/11 in 1979. He predicted it to this tall fella here, Michael Evans. Here's with Menachem Begin. And Yisr Harel predicted that Arab terrorists would attack the tallest buildings in New York City. He made this prediction, of course, 14 years before the first bombing and 22 years before 9/11. How amazingly prescient that the head of Israeli intelligence knew what Arabs would do 20 years down the road. This is what he said. In 1979, he said, Mr. Evans said, do you think terrorism will come to America? And if so, where and why? Harel said, I fear it will come to you in America. America has the power but not the will to fight terrorism. You see where they're thinking in 1979 already? The terrorists have the will but not the power to fight America, but that could all change with time. Arab oil money buys more than tents. As to the where, Harel continued, New York City is the symbol of freedom and capitalism. It's likely they will attack the Empire State Building, your tallest building, and a symbol of your power. So that prediction was made in 1979. So all of this goes back to 78, 79. They're planning the war on terror. They're planning 9/11. That's the ideation, creating the idea. Now, what happened is that Netanyahu, this man here, he was working for Boston Consulting Group, a Rothschild company in Boston. In 1979, he went back to Israel, and with his father, he created something called the Netanyahu Institute, and they began promoting the war on terror. Their first conference was in 1979 in Jerusalem, called the International Terrorism Conference on Terrorism. And he then began writing books, well, taking the speeches, for example, and putting them together in book form. Terrorism, How the West Can Win, Fighting Terrorism. And in these books, Netanyahu puts forth his doctrine. The doctrine basically goes like this, that Israel is attacked by Arab terrorists simply because it's a Western state with Western values. Therefore, the real target is the West. Therefore, it's incumbent on the West to come to the Middle East to fight the bad terrorists, because the real target is the West. Well, you know, that's it worked. It worked, however absurd it sounds, it worked very well. Now, if you're going to have a war on terrorism, you've got to have a really good enemy, a very colorful, naughty, nasty enemy, because the average Muslim is not a good enemy. So they had to create something. And they started creating it in the 1980s in Pakistan. And it was the gang of Gulbuddin Hekmatyar. And what happened is that Israeli military intelligence sent the men and the weapons to Pakistan. The Americans, under Charlie Wilson, and the Saudis paid for it all. We paid for it, CIA paid for it, Saudi Arabia paid. The Israelis collected the money, gave the weapons that they had taken from Beirut, from Lebanon. And the Israelis, who have plenty of Arabic-speaking agents, trained these people in terrorism. And one of the first Afghan Arabs was this man here, Osama bin Laden. And this operation began in 1983 when Ehud Barak, this man, was the head of Israeli military intelligence. This is Charlie Wilson, the congressman from Texas, who was behind the whole thing. You've seen the book, movie Charlie Wilson's War, read the book. And this is the man that they were funding, Gulbuddin Hekmatyar, right here. What's interesting about this, most peculiar, is that the CIA and Saudi Arabia were funding the most anti-Western group out there. Not only that, this man, this Gulbuddin Hekmatyar's group, never had a successful battle with the Russians, and they were always stirring up dissent with other groups. But most importantly, they were anti-Western. Now, why would the CIA and the Saudi Arabia be funding an anti-Western group? Because they were creating the foe for the coming war. And how it was being done? It was being done with this man, the head of the Mossad in Washington. His name is Zvi Rafia. He was managing Charlie Wilson. They were close friends, and he was like Charlie Wilson's mentor. And Rafia used Charlie Wilson's office as if it were his own. Here you see a quote from the book, Charlie Wilson's War. He said, one of the staffers kept a list of people he needed to lobby. He would use the phones, give projects to the staff, and call on Charlie to intervene whenever he needed him. So this Israeli station chief from Mossad is using a congressman's office as if it were his own. And this is the first trainer for bin Laden. This is bin Laden's first trainer. His name is Ali Mohammed. What's interesting about this man is Ali Mohammed is a fluent Hebrew-speaking double agent. He's supposedly Egyptian, but he speaks fluent Hebrew. Well, where did he learn that? Well, he's one of these double agents, and he trained Osama bin Laden. He trained the guys that shot Rabbi Kahane. He was involved in setting up the operation in East Africa, where they blew up the embassies. He was involved in all this stuff. But what was eventually happened, he was finally caught, and he was put in a federal penitentiary, where he vanished from without a trace. And the people that he created, the gang that he created, is these guys. And in 1994, they became Al-Qaeda, and the ones that spoke Pashto and the Afghans became Taliban. So these were all the men that had been trained in terrorism and technology by the Israeli military intelligence. Then in 1987, Israeli Mossad tried to get security contract for the World Trade Center. And they sent this man to get it, the former head of Shin Bet, Avraham Shalom. And the company was called Atwell Security of Tel Aviv. And they got the contract from the Port Authority. It was a terrorism contract, a terrorism security contract for the World Trade Center. And what happened, though, is that the Port Authority discovered that Mr. Shalom Ben-Dor was using a fake name. Israelis use different names than they have. And they found that he was guilty of murder back in Israel, of killing a couple Palestinians with rocks, crushing their heads, and having approved of that operation. And the Port Authority tore up the contract. But had that contract not been torn up by the Port Authority, 9/11 would have happened in 1980s or so, which would have put us at a big disadvantage because we didn't have the internet. We only would have read about it in New York Times and Time Magazine, and we would be clueless about what really happened. The internet has been a big game changer for us. It's allowed us to communicate and to get information that we would not otherwise have gotten. Now, when Shalom Ben-Dor and Zvi Malkin, I have to explain who these guys are. They're high Mossad agents. They're very high Mossad agents. They're the guys that worked under Issa Harel. Remember the guy that made the prediction in 79? These were his lieutenants. These are the men who went to Argentina and kidnapped Eichmann. These are the men who were involved in smuggling plutonium from Pennsylvania to Israel for the nuclear bombs. So these are very high-level men. They came to America in the early 1980s, and Zvi Malkin, that guy, and Shalom Ben-Dor. And the company that they headed, Atwell Security, had been created by Shaul Eisenberg, who was Mr. Big, Israel's Mr. Big in China. That's another story, but you have to remember that name, Shaul Eisenberg. He was the biggest, like a James Bond mega criminal. So what happened when their contract was torn up by the Port Authority, they didn't leave, they didn't go back to Israel, they didn't call it quits. What they did is they went to work for some American Jews who had already inside track. These two men, Jules Krull on the top, and Maurice Greenberg. Maurice Greenberg is the guy that used to run AIG, which is the company that got the big bailout in 2008-2009. He had the insurance company that had insured the banks. So this man, Kroll Associates, Kroll, had a company that in 1993 got the security contract for the World Trade Center after the first bombing. There was a bombing in the basement. Then his company had the security contract, and the Israeli guy was working for him. So the Israeli was using the American Jew as a Trojan horse to get into the operation that they wanted to get into. This man is also a key player in the 9/11 saga. He was involved. He was the special advisor to Bill Clinton. His name is Rahm Emanuel.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
He's the mayor of Chicago. This is the guy that ran the Clinton White House. For example, NAFTA. When Bill Clinton was elected in 1992, this guy got NAFTA through Congress in 1993, single-handedly. He's very nasty. He gives threats. He threatens people. He uses all kinds of ways to get people to do what he wants. He was also the first person appointed by Barack Obama, chief of staff. So you see, when Clinton was the president, a lot of the people were being put in position for the 9/11 saga to go into action. And therefore, he was the Mossad man in the White House. He was the Israeli agent in the White House. He served in the Israeli army. And his father was the his father was a member of that Leahy gang, the Stern gang, that killed all those people. In 1993, they had the first bombing of the World Trade Center, and this was an event that wasn't meant to bring down the World Trade Center. Whoever made that bomb, the FBI supposedly is the one that made it active, was not meant to bring down the towers. It was meant to impress on the American people that Arabs want to bring down the World Trade Center. So that when a few years later, 10 years later, when 9/11 happened, people would automatically think, oh, the Arabs did it, of course. Haven't you seen the movies? They made good on their promises, on their threats. Now, this crime was prosecuted by Michael Chertoff, who's an Israeli citizen, who was also the person who was responsible for prosecuting 9/11. He was at that time, in 1993, he was the U.S. attorney for New Jersey. And his fellow Zionist judge named Michael Mukasey presided over the case of the Blind Sheikh. This was the bombing. I think six people were killed. It happened in February 1993. Now, what happened, this is very interesting. This was all written in the New York Times, that the FBI was paying this man, an Egyptian colonel, Ahmad Salem, he was paying $1 million for his testimony. What he did was basically snooker or corral people like the Blind Sheikh into positions where they were indictable. They said something, they were someplace, they appeared guilty. And so that this was like a sting operation. And the stinger was this Egyptian guy. And this man went to jail for like 5,000 years, the Blind Sheikh, while this guy got $1 million payout from the FBI and went into the witness protection program, never to be seen again. Now, in 1997, 1998, Philip Zelikow ran something called the Catastrophic Terrorism Study Group, in which they imagined a transforming event which would change America. And this was in Foreign Affairs magazine. You can see that it's Philip Zelikow, John Deutsch, and Ashton Carter. And they were imagining the transforming event that would basically change this nation. They were talking about 9/11. And the men that wrote this, along Philip Zelikow is the man who wound up being the executive director of the 9/11 Commission Report. The other two are Ashton Carter here and John Deutsch. And this photograph was taken at the time that they were working on this paper. And they were working for a company called Global Technology Partners, which is an exclusive affiliate of Rothschild North America. So you see, what I'm trying to show you in some of these slides is that the Rothschilds, these big bankers, are always one step removed from the actual crime or from the actual plotting of the crime. But they're in every place you find their footprints. So then these Zionist neocons called for a new Pearl Harbor in order to change the American military policy. This was a document written by the PNAC, the Project for a New American Century, which is headed by the family here, the Kagan family. And they wanted to change the American military policy so that America would become the global police force, that America would dominate the entire planet. And they said the process of transformation, even if it brings revolutionary change, is likely to be a long one, absent some catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor. Then we had, and when 9/11 happened, we had the security of the World Trade Center towers and the security of the airports was both in the hands of the Mossad. Here you have the company. These are the principal players of the airplane company, this passenger screening company called Huntley USA.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.